morning. I wanted to look at Psalm 19. I know Jason touched on it a little bit last week. I wanted to look at it a little more this week. Psalm 19, verse 1. We'll read maybe the first. Well, if you look at the psalm, it's really two sections. The first section talks about the heavens, the works of God's hands, ultimately. And then the second section talks about the Word of God. And so I want to look, in my mind, why did he pair these two together? So let's read the first little part about the works of his hands. It says in verse 1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line goes out through all the earth, and the utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." Then he continues on, and just reading verse 7 to give you a taste of what the rest is, it says, "Then it just smutches with almost seems no kind of rhyme or reason." He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And he continues on. And I've never really looked at why does he put these two together. I've always enjoyed the back half of Psalm 19 because I like reading about that. But I've never really looked at sort of the first half and kind of why did the Spirit put it in David's heart to write these two things. I was doing a little research on the heavens. Very little research. Like while Lisa was sharing, I was searching a few things, although I liked the not lying part. So we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and try and throw some numbers at you. The Milky Way galaxy is estimated to be around 90,000 light years wide. And that they estimate there's 100 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. So none of us probably thinks, oh, a light year. I know exactly the distance of a light year. That makes sense to me. Because that's just, it's something we can't comprehend. So it takes roughly for a ray of sunshine to go from the sun to the earth. Does anybody know how long that takes? At the speed of light? For what? 4 minutes. It's actually about 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Is what I searched this morning. Someone can absolutely challenge me on some of my facts, but take it in the spirit of the fact that it's somewhat mind-blowing. So if we turn that into a, try and do some math, and again, that would be good for someone to audit my math, Greg, Joel. If I take that in my estimation, that means that if we say, okay, well, we can sort of get a sense of the Earth to the sun, then the Milky Way galaxy is about 5.5 billion times that wide. So multiply that distance by 5.5 billion, and now you've got the sense of the Milky Way galaxy. And then I read that how many galaxies do they estimate there are? Observable. And it specifically said observable, meaning we don't know what's beyond what we can observe. But they estimate that there's 2 trillion galaxies. So it's mind-boggling. Our galaxy alone has 100 to 400 billion stars, and they say that there's then 2 trillion observable galaxies. It's mind-blowing. I actually find myself, when I start to think about it, I don't like to think about it. Strangely, it just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies to think of something so vast, so big. I'm just like, ooh. One of my kids, I don't know how we got on it yesterday, one of my kids was asking me, well, what would happen if you were out in space? And like, you're just like, how could you get back to Earth? You're not coming back unless you got a rocket. Like, you're just going to go on. It's mind-boggling. There's a Proverbs in chapter 25. Solomon said this. He said, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. Has anybody heard of the James Webb? Does that name mean anything? It's a telescope that people have probably heard of, the Hubble telescope. So the newest telescope is the James Webb telescope. And I was just searching this morning images of the James Webb telescope. They are astounding. But the thing that I thought of when I saw this, some of these images, so they've got this new telescope, and it, what does it tell you? Like, I look at this, and the first thought that comes to my mind is, you see that image, and all it says is, there's more you don't know. It's like to the scientist, surprise, there's more out there you don't know. Like, it's just, the detail is insane. But what I thought was interesting was, remember, it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Who revealed the first image of the James Webb telescope? President Biden revealed the first. I just thought, how is the proverb right there? The king, the president, he had to be the one to reveal the first photo from this telescope. I thought, wow, the Proverbs, there's such a truth there. So you get to this, and so now come back to this. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth. Now this is interesting. It's almost like a play. It says, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech. In space, there's actually no noise. I just read this. Again, an auditable fact someone can challenge me on in my 2 minutes of research. But apparently, I guess there's, the molecules are too far apart that they just can't bounce together to create a sound wave. So there's no noise. And yet the psalmist, by the Spirit, so we know that it's true, says that their day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So without a word, they're speaking. They're giving knowledge. It says their line has gone out. Verse 3, now it does say there is no speech. What? It just says they pour forth speech. Now there is no speech, nor are their words. Their voice is not heard, but then their line, or it says in some translations, their sound has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. So we read on. So what is all the point of all of this? What I was challenged by, and I really feel like reading this, I know it's a challenge for me. If it challenges somebody else, then that's great. Key point, very simply, it's unsearchable. The heavens, it's like God has put it there to just say, it's my glory to conceal it. It's your glory to search it out, but the more you search, the better the telescope you come up with, all it's going to tell you is there's more. There's more there for you to search out. That's all that it is. They get this new telescope. The images are mind-blowing, but what you see, and I'm sure that they would tell me, is those are just more. They've just gone from where they would have said the observable galaxies are this big. Now all of a sudden they just said, okay, all we know now is the observable galaxies are this big, because we can observe more, and we just found more galaxies. It just says that there's more to be searched out. And so when I was challenged by this, now think about what comes in the second half of this psalm. Right? We switch with no transition. But I feel like the psalmist by the Spirit has just said, the heavens are declaring the glory of God, but they're speaking to us. They're speaking to every person. And what are they speaking? They're speaking out the glory of God, but I think it's like a picture to say, hey, the heavens, you'll never be able to search them out. What about the deeps of the sea? If anybody's watched one of these movies, these documentaries, the Deep Blue, or what do they call it? I can't remember. What is it? Blue Planet. That's the one I was thinking of. And I think there's a sequel. And what do they find? When they go way down, what do they find? They just find more stuff they never knew existed. Like, that's the point. The Lord has made it. Whether you go to the depths of the earth or you go to the farthest heavens, he's basically saying to us, you'll never reach it. It's my glory. I'm going to just keep concealing it. And if you want to search it out, well, that can be for your glory. That's the glory of kings to search out a matter. But what you'll find is you'll never get to the end of it. And personally, I was challenged, right? What does he say at the very core of our Christian walk? He says, seek first my kingdom. And you know what the danger is? We can become slack in our seeking. But what I felt like God was speaking to me as I read this morning was, like, how can you become slack? when it's unsearchable. You'll never reach the depths of the amazingness of our God, of our Heavenly Father, His love for us, but the truth and the reality of everything that's there. We can search and search, and the amazing thing is it can be fresh every day because it's unsearchable. Every day, it's like seeing that fresh James Webb telescope photo and just being blown away, like, wow. I saw some old, probably, photos of Jupiter. And I actually was like, I'd be tempted to flash it. This was my thought this morning. I'll flash up this photo I would see of Jupiter, which wasn't the whole planet. It was just a square photo of, and I would say, who do you think painted this? Like, it's amazing. But it looks like some type of artwork. All the swirls of the gases is my guess as to why it is. It's astounding. And that's like right close to us, comparatively speaking. Why would God do that? Just does it to be amazing, to show His glory. And that's one planet in one galaxy of 2 trillion observable galaxies. And He would do this. But why? I just think for me, the challenge is, sorry, I want to really pull this back to say that the challenge is, are we seeking Him? That really was the core of it. The law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they're righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. You know, it says the kingdom of God can be compared to someone who finds a treasure in a field and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Or can be compared to, my wife was asking me this morning, I was sitting, she's in the kitchen making breakfast, I think, and I'm on the other room. She goes, are you watching something with water? And I said, yeah, I'm watching pearl hunting. I was like, how do these people hunt for pearls? The kingdom of heaven can be compared to someone seeking fine pearls. And when they find that pearl of great price, they would sell everything that they have to go after. You think about it, it says that the word of God is more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. How many people, like, you think about seeking gold, and I've showed these pictures before of like the Klondike Rush, and you see these people, some of them perished trying to get up this hill in the snow and trying to get into the wilderness and find the gold, and only to get there and find out, for most of them, they lost everything they had because they didn't find gold and it cost them everything to get there. So simply put, do I seek God that way? Realizing, do I realize that it's more desirable than gold? Do I value it that way, and do I seek it that way? Solomon said this in his Proverbs, and this is a familiar one. He says, my son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, Proverbs chapter 2, this is very familiar. Make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Why might we not do it? Why don't we seek God that way? Why don't we value it that way? Maybe we haven't had the revelation of how amazing He is. I would say there's a number of reasons. Perhaps we haven't had the revelation of how good He is. Perhaps we've lost the revelation. Perhaps we had it. We can say, yeah, I remember that. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was single. And I just remember I would come home from work and I would just sit down and I would read the word. I think many would say that same testimony, that had that experience of coming to the Lord when they were single, they had more time and they just sought the Lord. Maybe you had no kids and we sought the Lord. Now I don't read the word that much. A lot because I have 6 kids and life is busy. But I want to be careful. I want to just say, oh, well, I just sought the Lord that way because I had the time. The question in my heart is, am I still giving Him best of what I have? Am I still seeking Him earnestly? Am I still valuing the word the same way? Or having the busyness of life? You know, it says, what does it say will choke out the word, right? Basically kind of two things. It's either the worries of this world or the desire for other things, riches, whatever it is. And I would say, I think both of those can tug at my heart. Absolutely. Lately, I spend lots of time thinking about the worries of this world. And I don't mean the worries of, I'm not one that necessarily gets fixated on the broader things in this world. There's lots of things happening. For me, it can just be the simple things in my own life. Decisions that need to be made, my work, finances, something that's happening in our home with our children, smaller things. But I've been challenged even this morning as I've been thinking about this and thinking like, man, this is this vast universe that speaks without saying a word about how unsearchable it is. But you know what struck me when you read about where he says, seek first my kingdom, and he talks about these things like, why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Why are you worried about what you're going to wear? You know what he says in there? He kind of throws in another one of these types of things. He says that, I've read this like so many times, it just struck me this morning. He says that, consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin. And yet not even Solomon, in all of his glory, can clothe himself like a lily in the field. That's amazing. I've never thought about it, but you think about that. God is saying, you take one lily in a field that did nothing besides just come up and look at the sun. That's all it does. It takes rain in like this, and it looks at the sun. And in doing so, it's more beautiful than the greatest, wealthiest king, perhaps that we don't know, right? It's all time relevant, but that may have ever lived. Solomon, in all of his glory, when he chose wisdom, God said to him, I'll give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches because I love that decision. Riches and honor and all of that. And yet he couldn't clothe himself like a simple lily. How much? And then it says, how much more? Like, that's like, to me, we're getting back to this 2 trillion thing. Like, when I think of that, he's saying, hey, if I can clothe a lily better than the richest man on earth, how much more would I take care of your needs? And I'm challenged by that because I'm like, Lord, how much time, mental capacity do I spend trying to figure out how I'm going to solve my problems? And I'm not saying we won't have to turn our mind to it. I'm not saying we don't, absolutely, we cry out for wisdom. That's what Solomon said. You cry for wisdom and you lift your voice for understanding. We absolutely do that. But then do I continue to try and on my own strength solve that problem, figure out that problem? Admittedly, there's times I know that I do. And what's the evidence? I don't usually, it affects everything. It begins to do exactly what it says. It begins to choke out the word. You lose your joy. It bears no fruit. It chokes out the word and the word is unable to bear fruit. What is the fruit? You lose your joy. You lose your peace. You just don't have that rest. You don't have that love. I'm probably more easily, I could say not probably, guaranteed, I am more irritable with my children for sure when I'm trying to solve my own problems. I've just been challenged. So it comes back to this thing of not just it is to seek his word, to realize, man. And then you say, well, it's the desire for other things, right? That's the other thing that can choke out the word. Why don't we value the word the same way? Because we're seeking to find life somewhere else. We talk about this often. I talk about this often. You're sitting here and you're hearing. If you've got ears to hear this morning and you're thinking, yeah, that is probably me. And I don't have an interest in the word the way you're describing it. It isn't more precious to me than gold. And it isn't sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb to me. That's not my life. That's not my reality right now. Then humble yourself and just say, Lord, that ain't where I'm at. I don't desire it that much. I'd rather whatever, fill in the blank. I'd rather do something else, whatever that something else is. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, I see it. I see that I don't desire your word that way. You know, in knowledge, I've grown up, I've heard it so many times that the word is more valuable than riches, it's more valuable than anything else. I've heard all of that. I've heard that nothing else satisfies. I've heard you're the only thing that can satisfy. But that's not how I feel. Then humble yourself and just come to the Lord. Acknowledge that before him and repent and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like, just change me. Give me that hunger. Give me help me to have a revelation of how valuable you are, how valuable your word is. God said, God has made it where we have to seek it out. Most people don't find a gold nugget just sitting on the ground. Or if they do, it very well may be fool's gold, right? He put the precious things that we, man values, where did he put them? Most of them, he put them deep in the earth, and you got to have dynamite and machines to get them out. Gold, or you got to sift and sift and sift and sift. You got to search for it. He did that. Why did he do that? He did it. It's a picture. Because he wants to know, are you willing to seek him? Are you willing to search it out? Are you willing to search it out? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he who comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's my challenge to me this morning. I don't want to be a hypocrite and say, here's my challenge for you. It's my challenge for me. And if it challenges you, well, then praise God. But it's my challenge that God's given me this morning. Tim, are you still diligently seeking me? Or have the worries of this world and the desire for other things, are you in danger of choking them out? Because if we seek him, come back to this, why did I talk about the heavens? There's no end to the riches that we will find in Christ. We think we've seen it. Well, it's only what you've observed so far. Just like they say, the observable galaxies. You'll never, and you hear this, you hear testimonies of those who have gone further and walked with the Lord longer, and they just say, the further I walk, the more vast the ocean gets of all that I can seek out in the Lord. So my encouragement to you this morning, simple. Let's be diligent to seek him, because it's unsearchable. He has used nature and the things of this world that he made just to paint a picture to say, hey, you see it when you see this photo, if you go and look at these photos, and you think, remember, he's done this as like a parable. So we see these photos and we think, wow, they sought more. These scientists, they created this telescope. They spent probably billions. And look at the beauty that we see from it. So think of that. If we search the same way they've figured out how to make this telescope and the beauty they see, how much more the beauty of God's word and seeing more of him. Let's be diligent. Let's not lose sight. I know Jason talked last week about valuing the word. This really isn't intended to be necessarily that different, just a further encouragement that we would diligently seek him and encourage one another to do the same, knowing the depths of the riches that are in Christ. And the glory of kings is to search out a matter. So it says we're a kingdom of priests to our God. So we can, not for our glory, for his glory, but let's seek these things out that we can then be encouraged and built up in him, but be a fragrance of life to a perishing world and be able to build one another up as we each are diligently seeking him.